Hello and welcome to the Decorum Talking Newspaper for the week ending Saturday, the 3rd of February 2024. This is Andrew and your other readers are Jane, Joe and Jean. The editor this week is Mary. All of us are members of Team 4 and we welcome Joe to our team this week. Most of our news items are taken from the Hemel Hempstead, Berkhamsted and Tring Gazette and Express newspaper. All telephone numbers are on the local code of 01442, unless stated otherwise. The headlines this week are Fragile Forest, 40 Years of Fostering, From Midlife Crisis to Successful Cafe, and Shortage of Lollipop Patrol Staff. These and other stories follow. But first, we begin with This Week in History. On February the 1st, 1930, The Times published its first crossword. And on this day last year, hundreds of thousands of workers, including school teachers, went on strike for what was the biggest day of industrial action in more than a decade. On February the 2nd in 1852, Britain's first gents opened in Fleet Street, followed on February the 11th by the first ladies just off the Strand. They were dubbed public waiting rooms. On this day last year, the NHS began a world-first clinical trial of a pioneering treatment that aimed at extending the lives of people with brain tumours. On February the 3rd, in 1983, UK unemployment hit a record high of 3.22 million. On February the 4th, in 1990, the New Zealand cricketer Richard Hadlee, later to be knighted, became the first man to take 400 test wickets. And on this day last year, an aristocratic British family made history by travelling to the Caribbean and publicly apologising for its ownership of more than 1,000 enslaved Africans. The Trevelyan family, which has many notable ancestors, also paid reparations to the people of Grenada, where it owned 6 sugar plantations. On February the 5th, 1924, the BBC PIPs, or time signals, from Greenwich Observatory were heard for the first time.
Hello, my name is Jane. Gnarled oaks and towering beeches have clung on to Chiltern slopes for centuries, but 1.7 million visitors at Ashridge Estate are wearing away the soils which support them. The ancient woodland near Berkhamsted is the real-life enchanted forest from Disney's Maleficent, starring Angelina Jolie, and features on screen in blockbusters including Harry Potter, and The Goblet of Fire, and Les Miserables with Hugh Jackman. Ashridge is the National Trust's largest ancient woodland, famous for its carpet of bluebells in the springtime. It takes a team of rangers to keep the forest open to visitors, dogs, and horses, in a way which protects the animals, fungi, plant, and trees which live there. Our larger trees are the jewels of our woodland, said Emily Smith, National Trust Countryside Manager. Monument Drive, en route to the car park, is lined with veteran and notable oaks with trunks more than 4 metres in circumference. Some of these oak trees will be up to about 400 years old. Not only are they very beautiful, but they hold a huge amount of rare insects living in the crannies, crevices, and the decaying parts of the tree. They are really special for a lot of reasons and very prominent in the landscape. People walking near them can compact the soil where the roots are, squeezing out the oxygen and water. With older trees, that can damage their health and their chance of survival.
This is Joe, and continuing the previous item, oaks around 400 years old are a similar age to Hertfordshire's Hatfield House and older than London's St Paul's Cathedral. Some of their branches have started to die, so Emily and the ranger team have built stick hedges to create space for the roots to find untrampled soil and water. One of the really special features of an ancient woodland is actually the soil rather than the trees, Emily said. A lot of the trees will have come and gone over 400 years, but what hasn't changed is the soil, where you've got a bank of rare and quite special flowers, fungi, invertebrates and microbes that you can't find anywhere else apart from in a soil with tree cover for that length of time or longer. In the winter months, the footpaths which crisscross the estate are muddy and wet. Some of our visitors try to avoid the wet, but they can end up trampling the vegetation, which damages plants, exposes tree roots, and widens the paths for good, Emily said. We've always asked people to avoid stepping onto the bluebells in spring when they're here to take their lovely photographs. But we've actually realised a lot of damage is being done in the winter when people are walking around the mud. They're causing compaction of the soil and damaging bluebell bulbs in the winter. It's quite evident in spring when we see those bulbs that have been freshly trampled struggling to survive. Dog poo is also a problem for the rangers. A lot of the wildlife habitats we look after are so special because they've got a rare low nutrient component to them. Rare flowers depend on that low nutrient environment, so dog mess, which people think might be biodegradable in the woodland, actually increases the nutrient value of the soil, so we see dominant thuggish plants like nettles growing much faster than they should. We ask dog walkers to take their dog mess home with them rather than stick and flick it off the paths.
Hello, this is Jean, and to conclude that item, the charity has stopped its public events at Ashridge to focus a campaign called Protecting Our Roots. Alongside maintenance, rangers have begun removing pines from the woodland to replace them with trees native to the Chiltern Hills. This is actually quite an exciting time in terms of what we can do to improve the health and biodiversity of the woodland, but it's also a pivotal point in our history. In the 12.6 kilometre or 7.8 mile zone of influence where 75% of our visitors come from, we're expecting to see up to around 32,000 new homes across four local authorities. What we're doing is thoughtfully working to create a way of dispersing the visitors we currently see into areas that are less designated. The authority is using a special levy on house builders to set up suitable alternative natural green spaces at Bunkers Hill and Chipperfield Common. It could also extend Bunkers Park and invest in Gadebridge Park, Halgrove Wood and Margaret Lloyd Park. The idea is that it's not a prescription per se, but it will provide alternative spaces for dog walkers, people who want to have picnics, and people who want to enjoy open spaces, said Councillor Wilkie, Liberal Democrat Councillor for Tring Central. We're not trying to replace Ashridge, we wouldn't want to. We certainly do not expect people to stop going to Ashridge, but we can't carry on as we are. Instead, this is a strategy to deal with the issues that are happening with high visitor numbers and putting forward even more natural spaces as alternatives, which are just as attractive or better.
Councillors have questioned whether there should be school crossing patrols in areas where there are already zebra crossings during a scrutiny of budget proposals. And with a shortage of crossing patrol guards in some areas, there were suggestions that in those areas zebra crossings should be installed instead. Across Hertfordshire, there are more than 140 school crossing patrols designed to help 24,000 children to cross the road to school. But at the budget scrutiny meeting, Liberal Democrat Councillor Paul de Court said that one in three of those posts could be vacant at any one time, and he suggested the council needed to come up with a different solution. He said it was not appropriate to have school crossing guards and zebra crossings in the same location, which was potentially a waste. And he suggested that where they were unable to recruit guards for any length of time, they should look at whether there should be a zebra crossing instead. At the meeting, there were also suggestions that this would be an improvement because the crossing would be there for other pedestrians throughout the day. The coexistence of zebra crossings and crossing patrols was also highlighted at the meeting by Conservative Councillor Terry Hone. "We have school crossing patrols where there are zebra crossings," he said. Now, of course, by law, you should not need a school crossing patrol assistant where you have a zebra crossing because the vehicles should stop by law. In fact, the highway code now says that, not even just at a zebra crossing, if pedestrians or cyclists wish to cross over, then people should stop and let them cross. Pointing to an example of a crossing patrol at the same location as a zebra crossing, he asked, "How do we take that into account in terms of that cost to us of money, two lots of money? We've put a zebra crossing in and we're paying for a school crossing patrol."
And to continue, in response, Executive Member for Highways and Transport, Councillor Phil Bibby, suggested that it was even worse when there was a controlled crossing, with crossing patrol guards pressing the button for the children. He accepted that in recent years, recruitment to school crossing patrols had been challenging, suggesting on average 20% of posts were vacant. He stressed the steps taken to recruit local people to the roles, and he said new measures were being drawn up that could include schools funding engineering works to support volunteer crossing patrols if they don't meet the minimum criteria for a funded service. The Council's delivery of an efficient and effective school crossing patrol service is highlighted in the Council's 24-25 budget document, and the comments were made as councillors met to scrutinise the Council's highways and transport budget plans. The virtual meeting was held on Friday, the 26th of January, as part of ongoing scrutiny of the County Council's budget proposals for 2024-25.
Now some County Council news. Hertfordshire County Council plans to set aside almost £3 million to improve and maintain fire stations, modernising them for a workforce that includes increasing numbers of women. A number of the county's fire stations were constructed back in the 1950s and can still include communal areas for sleeping and changing, designed for a workforce that was exclusively male. But with increasing numbers of female firefighters joining the Hertfordshire Fire and Rescue Service, there is now a move to modernise fire stations. Budget proposals for 24-25, which are currently being scrutinised by county councillors, include a substantial £2.7 million capital programme to improve conditions of a number of fire stations. And that builds on almost £2.8 million invested last year, with plans for another 1.2 in 25-26, bringing the planned three-year capital investment to £6.7 million. Planned work will include health and safety improvements, such as the installation of decontamination units, but there is also a drive to ensure that fire stations are modern and comfortable spaces for firefighters to rest in between call-outs. And that includes the provision of areas that offer greater privacy for those that prefer not to sleep or change in a group. Executive Member for Public Health and Community Protection, Councillor Maurice Bright, believes it will improve facilities for existing firefighters. As well as attracting a more diverse group of people into the service, he stresses that firefighters have to be able to be comfortable in fire stations, in between call-outs, to what can be shockingly difficult situations.
A Hertfordshire detective inspector sent an avalanche of abusive messages to a woman, a police chief has said. Former Detective Inspector Philip Moss, who served in the police for 28 years, cannot serve again after an accelerated misconduct hearing on the 13th of December last year. A report published this month reveals 365 pages of messages were put to the hearing, clearly all of which are challenging. Chief Constable Charlie Hall, who wrote the report, said, "I have no doubt that anyone receiving such persistent and continuous abuse from someone they loved would have found this harmful to them." The report reads, "Former DI Moss had clearly sent a very large volume of messages, a great many of which contain abusive, offensive and insulting words. These are in the great majority directed towards Miss A and are clearly intended to be hurtful and distressing to her. Former DI Moss is entirely responsible himself for sending these." The police chief noted Miss A had appeared more and more vulnerable as time went on, a fact former DI Moss must have recognised, but his behaviour does not abate. The former officer resigned on the 13th of December last year after he admitted his behaviour amounted to a breach of standards of professional behaviour for discreditable conduct and a breach of authority, respect and courtesy. His name will be added to the College of Policing barred list, Chief Constable Charlie Hall confirmed. In making his decision, the Chief Constable considered former DI Moss had suffered a recent bereavement. He said DI Moss had served the police service very well for 28 years. Chief Constable Hall added, "He should rightly be proud of this, and he has been involved in some significant cases. He has been a role model for many and well respected by colleagues." Former DI Moss has an otherwise unblemished record. The public of Hertfordshire have a right to know that, this incident aside, former DI Moss has served them well and had a good career that has been of benefit to the public. He said they were private messages, but were the public to have seen or been aware of the content of the messages former DI Moss was sending, I think they would have rightly been appalled.
Councillors have expressed concern that an expected increase in government funding for public health services will not keep up with inflation. Unlike other county council departments, public health services are funded through a ring-fenced grant from the Department of Health and Social Care. That grant, according to Hertfordshire County Council's budget proposals, is expected to go up by 1.3% next year, 2024-25, to £53.7 million. But despite being more than last year, it is below inflation. As councillors met to scrutinise the budget plans on Wednesday, January the 24th, it was suggested that in real terms this could be seen as a reduction in funding. And Liberal Democrat councillor Lawrence Brass, who was chairing the scrutiny session, said, "We're all concerned that I think in real terms there's actually going to be a reduction in funding in the coming year." Executive Member for Public Health and Community Protection, Councillor Maurice Bright, revealed that the service was already undergoing a strategic review. Public health services provided in Hertfordshire by the County Council include health visitors and school nurses, drug, alcohol and addiction, sexual health and weight management services. And in response to a question focused on the impact of efficiencies on service delivery, Councillor Bright highlighted the ongoing strategic review. He said that in the wake of the pandemic, there were some areas that were staff heavy, and he suggested the review could lead to reductions without reducing the services that were currently needed.
And continuing the previous item, Director of Public Health Sarah Perman said, "We are facing severe pressures with the public health grants, as are other directorates with their sources of funding. In real terms, the public health grant has reduced in value by about 26% since 2015-16. Meanwhile, Ms. Perman warned that the suggested 1.3% increase in funding from government had not yet been confirmed, suggesting that it could be even lower. She told councillors that since the pandemic, there had been a tendency for public health to try to do everything, but she said that they now had to reset priorities, ensuring they were doing what they had to in line with the evidence about communities. She said the aim of the review was to ensure the department was very clear on its strategic priorities for the next 2 to 3 years. And she said they would be looking to make sure they had the size and the structure of the workforce to allow them to efficiently deliver the strategic priorities. Meanwhile, she said the department had implemented the council's recruitment prioritisation, which freezes recruitment to all but essential roles. And she said that further efficiencies included staff giving up mobile phones when not in use and using technology more effectively.
The award of Bus Service Improvement Plan funding from government for bus services has allowed improvements in frequencies between major towns in Hertfordshire on a turn-up-and-go basis. 5 towns in Hertfordshire are now better connected for bus users. From January 2024, This has been achieved with the following corridors benefiting: Hemel Hempstead to St Albans, up to 4 buses an hour between Hemel Hempstead and St Albans on routes 302 and 721. Hemel Hempstead to Watford, up to 6 buses an hour between Hemel Hempstead and Watford on routes 20 and 322. Hertford to Wellingarden City and St Albans increases from 2 to 4 buses an hour on routes 323, 324 and 724, offering connections at Wellingarden City with frequent services to St Albans. Stevenage to Wellingarden City and St Albans, up to 3 buses an hour between Stevenage and St Albans, 4 between Stevenage and Wellingarden City on routes 301, 908 and 725, and Watford to St Albans, up to 4 buses an hour between Watford and St Albans on routes 321, 724 and 725. For additional improvements to routes, go to interlink.org.uk/bus-services-BSIP.
A man has been charged in connection to an assault in Hemel Hempstead. Hertfordshire Constabulary said George Malaburn, 30, of Maylands Avenue, Hemel Hempstead, was charged in relation to an incident in Hosking Court on Maylands Avenue between 11:15pm and 11:40pm on Monday the 22nd of January. Hertfordshire Constabulary has confirmed 2 people were injured as a result of the altercation. One of the victims, a man aged in his 50s, sustained substantial facial injuries, the police force added. Malaburn was charged with committing grievous bodily harm without intent and assaulting a person, thereby occasioning them with actual bodily harm. He appeared at Hatfield Magistrates Court on January the 25th, where he pleaded guilty to both charges and will be sentenced at a later date.
In Tring, Cow Juice Cafe has been on quite the journey since it opened 12 weeks ago, and now they're ready to bottle their shakes to sell in